and working through things that I did not want to work through. So the deeper I got, the more healthy I got. And I'm sure that's why we're all here, is to get to that place where we can bring God into our food and into every situation in our lives. And then when we can get to that root problem, those problems will be solved. And it's slow because I'm also an addict and an alcoholic, but my food was my first addiction. I can remember being addicted to food as a young child, getting up in the middle of the night, sneaking food into my bedroom, stuff like that. So, and then that went into anorexia, then that went into compulsive overeating. So anyhow, I'll get back on topic. The realization was how I've done things. I've presented in column two to the person. I've listed in column one or others. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick like ourselves. So really, once I've done column three, my realization in almost in all of my inventories is that the reason why these things bother me is because I've done exactly those same things to people in my past. And that's why it bothers me so much. That's the core of that, of my resentment. So it's really important to take a look at that and look at our past behaviors and see what we have been, how we have treated others and how we've been guilty of doing those things. So I would love to take some questions and help anybody out if you have any questions. So just however the format goes, however we do that.
Yeah, totally. I want to move into Q&A mode in just a moment, Leah. I apologize. There was a little bit of a delay in getting the recording started as you explained personal relations, sex relations, and pocketbook. Would you be kind enough to just review that quickly once again for anyone who's listening overseas in a different time zone?
Sure. So personal relations, I was reading from a resentment inventory, and my resentments usually come from a place of unrealistic expectations. And personal relations are my deep-seated beliefs on how relationships are supposed to look. And in this particular inventory, I wrote, clients should never try and screw their trainers. And I felt not respected. The fear behind that was being not respected. And there have been a lot of, I was explaining how there's a lot of not trust, not respected, not loved, just because of, those are the things that have happened to me in the past with my family. So those fears play over and over and over and over again. Sex relations, my deep-seated belief on how real women or men are supposed to be. And a real woman should never let anybody treat her badly. I was always in fight or flight, so I fought people all the time. I would not allow people to treat me badly if I treated you badly first. That's kind of how that went. And the fear behind that is that I was not respected. And the pocketbook doesn't really need to directly deal with your finances, but that should be, that it affects your finances. Others should never see me struggle. So a lot, and you may not, they're not, there may not be a pocketbook. It may not affect, all your resentments may not have anything to do with your finances. So sometimes you fill out the pocketbook, sometimes you don't. But in this particular situation, it was from somebody from work. Her not being my client anymore obviously allowed me to struggle financially. And I felt not respected and not loved. But it was brought to my attention later on that I needed to separate my personal relationships from my business relationships, because that's just business. I am so used to people abandoning me. I was bringing my abandonment issues into my business, and those are two separate things. So I think once I did that in this inventory and I realized that I was bringing business issues into my personal feelings into business issues, I was able to separate it a little bit, and that was very eye-opening for me. Do you need
awesome.
Me to share on the again, or is that good?
That's good. We got that on tape. Thank you. Thank you so much, Leah. I could totally resonate with a lot of what you shared. I'm sure the girls can too. Did a really amazing, awesome, clear job of going through that. So what I think I'm going to do, if it's kosher with you, Lee, is I'm just going to open it up to questions only for a little bit, and then once clarified any questions, we can open it up for discussion. And if it's cool with you, I think I'm just going to open it up for the whole third column and the realization question, since we're kind of in
sure.
the mix. Does that sound
perfect?
So let me toggle my controls here, and I'll put this in Q&A mode. I want to remind everybody in the call that to raise your hand electronically, you just want to press *61* on your phone. It does take 20, 30 seconds or so to get in the queue, so just be a little bit patient, but it's *6. Okay. So questions, if you were in the earlier Q&A, it may have dropped you, *61 to get back in. There you go. I see some hands went up already. Let me go ahead and call on Cindy. Okay, Cindy, you are unmuted.
Hey, I don't know if I'm making this up in my head, but I thought I heard that are we supposed to try to avoid listing the same fear on the same inventory more than once? Am I making that up? Like you know what I mean? Like let's say insecurity, I have a fear that mimics the fear that is in self-esteem. Should I just eliminate that then? Or should I go ahead and write it?
You know, if it appears once or twice, I don't think that's a big deal. If you start having the same fear in every column, you might have to just sit for a few minutes in meditation and see if you can use Leah's suggestion of, like, looking at the opposite, or even the suggestion we had earlier of, you know, if my ambition is, you know, I want my sister to love me unconditionally, and my fear is what? You know, maybe that I'm unlovable, but it also might be, I might have to go, I like to say, take the elevator down another level. I might have to go a little deeper and say, you know, if I'm unloved, then what? It's like, so my fear might be I'm alone, I'm, you know, shot out of the family, I'm shoved aside. So I can, if I'm repeating the same thing, I will sometimes try to go a little bit deeper with it. Like, so what does it mean if I'm unloved? What is the fear there? Does that make sense?
100%. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. Leah, what do you think? Leah, are you there? Leah should not be muted. Bear with me just a second. Let me see if I can just check on Leah and make sure she's not muted in any way.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. All right, I can hear you now. Forgive me. The system mutes everybody when I put it in Q&A mode. Leah, how would you guide Cindy's question on that?
So I think it's important, especially if you've gone through this work the first time, because I know there's probably almost everybody's probably a first-timer here. Sometimes your brain isn't willing to go that deep yet. And you will see a lot of repetition, and that is totally normal. If you're ready to take it deeper and go down another level, that's fantastic. But I know that when I first did this work, I was not capable of going any deeper than the first floor. So, and if you stay on that first floor, there's a ton of repetition. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It all depends on where your head is at. Because if you think about it, this work, the writing and everything about it can be really overwhelming. So if that's where mm-hmm. you are, if you're overwhelmed, stick with the surface for the time being.
Okay. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily overwhelmed. I just feel like there's it doesn't seem like I'm regurgitating anything, and it does seem like for each resentment there are different fears, but there does seem to be a theme in many of the fears. There's like four
Correct.
Different themes that keep running throughout all my storylines, basically. But yeah,
okay, that means you're doing it correctly.
Yeah,
good.
I think
Leah and I
will be. Well, yeah, we'll both say that means you're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
There should,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Okay. Claudia has her hand up. Okay, Claudia, you are unmuted, my dear.
Thank you. I was wondering if we could go over like a sheet, but maybe this isn't the right time for it. Just to make sure that I figure out the personal relationship, sex relations, and pocketbook on somebody like one of my kids. I always seem to have a little trouble getting started with some of these, especially with the fears, but I'm kind of getting a list of those going. But I find like the pocketbook one, does it always have to affect your money and your pocketbook, or can it affect something else in that pocketbook area than your finances?
It can. Go ahead, Melissa.
I was just going to say I'm going to let Leah take that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry for that.
So remember when you're doing this third column, this is all you and not somebody else. So this is all pertaining to you and how you're playing out your play in the perfect world, okay? So keep that in mind when you're writing it, because this is going to be you in your play. Not everything always has to affect your finances. Sometimes that is filled out and sometimes it's not.
Okay, so you wouldn't try to make it into something else. I got it.
Yeah. Take it for face value. Not everything's going to affect your finances or something of value or something like that in your life.
Okay, I got that. And what about sex relations? If it's your child, then you wouldn't really have that either, would you?
Okay, so, well, the thing is that the sex relations is really your deep-seated beliefs on how you as a woman are supposed to be. So, again, this has nothing to do with your child. But you would say, if I had a resentment with my child, I would say, well, a real woman never lets her child treat her badly or with disrespect. It doesn't really necessarily have to do with sex.
Okay. Yeah, I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one can be tricky because it says sex relations, but it's really about how you feel in the perfect world and how your ego places you in that relationship with your child.
Go ahead.
Does that answer your question, Claudia? Does that answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah. We're just going to start on these, and if I have trouble, I'll ask somebody when I work this week.
Sure, you're welcome to call me or Anne-Marie or Susie. We've all given our numbers out. If Leah wants to, she can give her phone number out before we end the call, but once you do your reading in the VBA and you get started, if you have any questions, you're welcome to reach out. Okay.
Okay. Can I ask one other thing before I hang up? We're having a discussion, too, about God, and I guess I find, you know, that I'm waiting still for a deeper relationship with God, and I'm not really sure. I believe in God, but I don't always, you were talking, I thought it was so cool, you were talking about, well, you know, you don't need to, well, I don't know if I can put this right, you don't need to, would it be like, you know, worry about these things because you always have God, and so, you know, I kind of wonder how that works for people, how they, you know, like you're having problem with your son or whatever it might be, and mm-hmm. you know, pray about that all the time, or, you know.
You know, Claudia, that is a really great topic for discussion. Let me come back to you when we're in the discussion portion of this call, because I still have two hands up about questions on the inventory. So let me come back to you in a few minutes when we get to discussion, and we'll bring that back forward, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, Claudia.
Thanks.
Okay. Hey, Nancy, thanks for your patience, and you're unmuted. What's your question?
Hi, Nancy, I'm a compulsive overeater. So, Leah, could you explain more about the realization? I was confused when you said that the reason you form these resentments is because you've treated that person the same way they treated you. And it seems to me like, when I realize I've treated somebody else the same way, then it would soften my heart and I might drop the resentment. But it's which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's what I was confused
okay.
about what you said.
Fair enough. So the realization, it doesn't really have to do with the person in the resentment. It's just how have I treated people in general? And I usually find that when people harm me, I've usually been guilty of doing those same behaviors in my life, not necessarily to that person, just in general. And when you get to the next column, the fourth column, then it's going to start to explain to you about your resentment and where it stems from and how you can move through it. So that realization is just saying, oh, wow, you know, I have this resentment against this person, but yet I've kind of been like that to other people in my life. So that's just the realization around your resentment. And that's just really about getting deep down and honest and truthful with yourself. I think that denial in food addicts is very prevalent. that's why we turn to food, so we can kind of shut everything out. And it's really that realization of seeing how our heart has been and how we've treated people.
Okay. Thanks, Leah. That helps. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, Leah, I just want to touch a little bit on, if I can just use like an example, I'm going to just hark back to Lisa and Amanda and what they wrote. So kind of like staying in that example this call. Some of the things that Lisa wrote in her column two, or cause of resentment on her father that we heard earlier, was something like, you know, that he shunned me, or he was an addict, you know, that he didn't put me first. And when I'm doing my realization, when I turn the page over, and remember, like Leah talked about, we're only doing the realization. I know there's a desire to rush ahead and do the whole page, but we're not doing that this week. We really have enough workload on our shoulders to do thorough third columns. So we break it down into the latter half of the third column and just the realization. That's what we're doing this week. And so it tells me very plainly on the worksheet, I first say the prayer. See, I say the prayer before I come to the realization. So when I turn my page over, I say, God, please help me see the truth, right? Because I'm trying to become unblocked. I need to see my truth so I can have a realization of it. And then it says how, and how is underlined in our worksheet. Isn't that interesting? The top of the realization, how, not what, not when, not who, not where, but how. How have I done the things I've resented in column two, the cause, to the person I've listed in column one, in least case, that's father, or others. Okay, so Lisa's in this workshop because she's a food addict. So in two, she resents her for addiction, as or the alcoholism. And Lisa would say, oh gosh, you know, I've been a food addict as well. In fact, I think she did say that, already having a realization and an awakening in her third column. So we realize that, you know, have I ever shunned anybody, you know, whom I felt perhaps I had an obligation to love, like a family member or a spouse or a partner, you know, if I'm an addict, I likely have, you know. And so, again, like Leah is directing you and guiding you in this call, this inventory is about us. It's not about the other person. So here in the realization, I'm looking at where I may have acted out in the same ways with either the person I have the resentment on in column one or anyone else at any other point in my life. So if I resent them because they, you know, talk down to me, have I ever talked down to anyone? If they're impatient with me, have I ever been impatient with anyone? You know, if I feel like they don't see or hear me, have I ever turned away from someone that's rubbed me wrong? You know, and I look for how I resent things in others that I may have done myself. And frankly, I may not like these parts of myself. And that could be perhaps one of the reasons that they bother me when I see them in other people. But the realization is simply that we're more alike than different. And that if we're having resentments about these traits and we can also find them in ourselves, then we say the prayer in italicized letters underneath the blank section where you write in your realization. We see the prayer, God, this is a sick person like myself. How can I be helpful to them? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. It's God's will who will be done. It's God who's in charge of my relationships and everything in my life. Leah made a really fantastic point earlier where she talked about whatever fear we write in our fear columns in those parentheses, we can also ask ourselves if we fear the opposite. And most of the time the answer is yes. I have a fear of being respected, Leah said. Why? It puts some pressure on me. I have to be respectable. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I gotta get the actor running the play. I gotta get the character going. You know, I gotta be respectful. We heard Amanda say, I feel sometimes like I'm an imposter or a fraud, you know. And these are all really, really common things with addicts, you know. And so what we wanna do is try to see where we're more alike than different, and it does soften our heart, like Nancy pointed out. It does soften our heart a little bit. If it helps us be a little more humble. And, you know, to be humble is to be spiritually equal with others in the world. You know, we may be in different places, right? This person may be sick like me that I have the resentment with. They may be spiritually sick. Remember our task in the fourth step is to look for where my spirit has been sickened. And so we see that language in the realization and in the worksheet where I say, God, this is a sick person like myself, remembering I'm equally spiritually sickened in my own way. So I know this. They may not. I know I'm sick now. I've done this work. I see where my spirit is sickened. They may not. So how can I be helpful to them? God save me from being angry. Why? Because remember, we learned the grouch and the brainstorm are not for us. It will kill us. This is a life and death disease that we are dealing with. And so God save me from being angry, and thy will be done. His will be done. And so this is kind of like hopefully an expanded little explanation about how, you know, I was guided to do the realization and how I went through it. Leah, what can you add to that? What do you think?
That sounds great. You know, it's part of the biggest part of this is that you've done the third step. And so now you really need to work on bringing God into this, because it's only the Lord that can turn that heart of stone softer. And once we start to, I know as a food addict, I used to like to fight everybody and everything. I had to stand up for myself. There was this feeling of things not being fair. And when things weren't fair, I was angry. But the bottom line is that we can't kill ourselves with food, because life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. People aren't fair. It doesn't happen that way. And sometimes we have a hard time looking at that realization, because the reality is that we, deep down inside, we have been that person. And that's part of the truth of taking a peek at all this, so you can understand it, realize it, and move on to the fourth column. And once you do that fourth column, then this is all going to start to make so much more sense for you. But it's done in the order it's done for a reason. But I highly recommend that you sit down with God and ask him for the clarity to help you through this stuff. And I can promise you he'll guide you through it.
Absolutely. And remember, during this time, we're still saying the third step prayer on our knees, morning and evening, or whenever needed. Often. That's what Leah says, often. Okay.
I have post-its around my house for even in between all those times when I needed to pray, until I became 100% God-reliant. And that's a journey.
Yeah. I really needed to draw nearer to him to do this work, and I already hear a lot of the women in the calls are having the same experience. It's just, it's beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to open this up for discussion unless I have any more questions. Unless I see another question pop up, I'm going to go ahead and open this up for discussion. I think it's a great segue into answering Claudia's question. You know, she's talking about, you know, how can I believe she said, how can I draw nearer to God? How can I be closer to him during this time? So I'm going to let Claudia say it again in her own words. So Claudia, I'm going to unmute you, and why don't you give us like a short summary of your question again?
Thank you. I think you said it just right. I wonder how I can get closer to God in all these areas of self that are on here, as well as, you know, in my daily life as I'm leading it. And I liked what I just heard about asking God for clarity. And I think I forget to do all this praying. I feel like others are praying day and night, and there's something constitutionally wrong with me, and that I'm not holy enough, and I'm not good enough at this to receive any kind of favors around my compulsive overeating, if that makes any sense. And so I need to get closer to God and that trust, and how people are building that trust and getting that track record going with God, like I have with other addictions. I have a good track record. So I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Go ahead, Leah.
Oh, Melissa. Okay. This is my I love talking about God. it's really important to understand, Claudia, you are a child of God. He created you. He loves you when you were in your mother's womb. So you're his creation. Now, when you're born, there are a lot of evil things done in the world that unfortunately form opinions and ways about us that aren't that great. But what's important to remember is that not to have unrealistic expectations in other people. Put your expectations in God, because God will never let you down and he will never forsake you. And there is no sin that you can't be forgiven of. None. No sin at all. There is nothing he will not forgive you for. You just have to ask him for it. And there's a lot of times where we need to forgive ourselves for a lot of the stuff that we've done. And I just ask the Lord to help me live a forgiving, peaceful life. And again, I'm now a born-again Christian. I took it to another level. That's not for everybody, but that's worked for me. But to get that relationship with the Lord, I stay in the BBA work, and I stay giving back to others, and I stay in biblical scripture. But I also have post-it notes everywhere in my house, in my car, everywhere. So then turning to God and asking him, God, please help me. Thy will be done, not mine. That changed my day and my outlook on life after it became habitual. And if you're willing to go to that extent and put those post-it notes up and alongside of that third step prayer on your knees, there's plenty of times through the day where I ask the Lord for help. Lord, please help me. Please help me see the realization here. Please help me see what my part is. Please help me see where I've been wrong. And when you go through the day doing that, those resentments, they start to wash away.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think
you have to remember, deep down within us is the fundamental idea of God in everybody.
Yeah, I think Claudia might have gotten muted. Let me unmute her. Okay, Claudia, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay, I thought I was muted. Yes, that is helpful, and I will try these suggestions and, you know, see if this brings me closer to God. I don't feel like I'm, you know, an atheist or anything. I just feel like I'm not going to receive God's favor. And I guess I should remember that I'm not a child. I am a child of God. And one of his favorites and that I need to put aside maybe the childhood thing like you were talking about. And those are a whole different thing.
Yeah, we do. We all have to set aside something in order to become unblocked from God, sometimes many somethings. And, you know, you already are in God's favor. You've been brought to this work and you've been doing it for 15 weeks. And Claudia, I've had other women in this workshop say, you know, that woman, Claudia, man, the miracles are happening for her. I can totally hear it in her voice. And so I know that we may, you know, I don't always see my growth. Like, I went to see Leah a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't see the growth from 2 years ago, but Leah was able to give voice to it. So we can't always see ourselves clearly, and, you know, feelings are not always facts. So, you know, continue with your set-aside prayer, continue saying your third step on your knees, and continue having that conversation all day long, because God is already in you. You are already in his favor, and you don't need to do anything to earn it, like we talked about in step two. Okay?
All right. I'll try to remember that. Thank you.
God bless.
Claudia.
Thanks.
Okay. We're at 7:15 now. I just want to see a show of hands. Can a couple of you weigh in and just let me know, what would you like to do with the last 30 minutes of tonight? Would you like to go over some third columns some more, like the ones you've already completed? Is there anyone, maybe Ellen or Terry or Pat or Kim or Sarah Jane or Jan or Connie or Laura up in Sonoma, Allison out in the Bay Area, Kathy in Ohio? Would any of you like to go over some of your third columns you've written or get any guidance? Because that's why Leah and I are we're here to guide you. You want to participate, just press 6-1 to put your hand up, or I might just get a little frisky and start unmuting people and reaching out to them. Okay, I see a hand up. Let me go ahead and grab Laura in Sonoma. Okay, Laura, how are you?
Hi. Did you say Laura? I'm sorry.
I did. You are unmuted. Please talk to us.
Okay, great. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you know, this is such a great way to do the fourth step. I've done four steps before, but I've had some things revealed that I had no idea of my fears. And mm-hmm. I would like to go over a resentment inventory, the third column of one that I have with, I guess, my husband.
yeah, let's do it.
You know, I just, you know, where do I start? The target statement or just right under my self-esteem?
Sure. Well, we know column one is your husband. You can tell us your target statement and then just read your first four parts of column three. Yeah.
Yeah. So my target statement, I mean, I probably could have done five pages on him, but anyway, he doesn't respect me. You know, he doesn't respect me. He's unrealistic. He's impatient and intolerant and an elitist. Okay. So, you know, my self-esteem is I'm the perfect wife. And then I just went right into, you know, well, my fear is obviously of not being good enough.
Mm.
And then the word alone came out, which really surprised me because mm-hmm. I always thought, you know, I kind of want to be alone, but mm-hmm. not always. You know, I don't want to be alone forever. So that mm-hmm. was my self-esteem. My pride, I wrote, others should respect each other's privacy. Mm-hmm. No one should coerce someone into doing something they don't want to do. No mm-hmm. one should criticize someone else, and no one should feel that they're better than others. And mm-hmm. so I just kind of took all of those and turned them the opposite and found that my fear is of being not respected, of being coerced into doing something, of being criticized, and I have a fear of being an elitist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My ambition, I want to be left alone. I want to be respected when I want to be respected. I want to live in peace. And so my fear mm-hmm. is, again, of not being respected, of living in chaos, and of being exposed, which I thought was really interesting because
mm-hmm.
that never occurred to me.
mm-hmm.
And
it's really neat. It's really neat when we're surprised by our own findings, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm just kind of wondering if I'm writing too much here for the statement, but I don't know. I just,
sounds
you know,
like
I,
you're having a pretty effective experience.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know. That's what I wanted to know, if I'm just getting into it too much. But I have taken God, you know, and I am coming to God more often now, and it's so nice, and I'm actually able to sit for 5 minutes and meditate, which is I don't do it every day, but, you know, I'm able to do it. And reading pages 84 through 88 in the big book, oh, my God, that is such so wonderful. Anyway, then my security. I need to have privacy to be okay. I need to have respect from others to be okay. I need to live in a peaceful environment to be okay. And again, the same kind of things came up, my fear of being exposed, my fear of living in chaos, and my fear of being exploited. So those are just, eye-opening.
That sounds like really good work to me. Laura, that sounds like really good writing work to me.
Thanks.
I'll definitely let Leah jump in. She's very experienced with this. The only thing that stood out for me was one of the women that I talked to this week. We looked up the word respect because it does come up a lot in fourth step inventories with food addicts, and the definition was something like admired. And almost, I think it almost said something like put on a pedestal, but I think the language might have been a little different, but it was like, it was such strong language that the gal I was working with was like, oh, I didn't realize that's what it means. I don't know that I need to be admired. Is that really what I'm saying? So we, you know, sometimes we have to look up words that we've been using all our life to see what the real meaning is. And, sometimes what I need is I need my boundaries respected, or something like that. Like, 'cause again, we're writing the inventory on ourselves, and remember how Leah said, like, for her, a big awakening in doing the work was shifting expectations from people to God. And if we're following along with, you know, thy will be done, then how someone else is may not be wrong. It might be a wrong fit for us, or, you know, there might be conflict or, you know, which I'm hearing there's conflict there. But this is, you know, this is how we, in the third column, we look at, like, where am I placing God-like expectations on myself or others? Was kind of how it was worded to me. And it sounds like you've written some very honest and very good work. I mean, Leah, would you have anything to add or feedback, or what was your take on that?
First, I want to make sure, okay, so, like, you're safe. I heard the word coerced, and that always makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Are you safe?
Yeah, that's something I wanted to mention, is that this man is a very loving man. We've been together 38 years. He is kind, gentle, loving, and all of that. But he's a very sexual person, and I'm not. I'm just,
okay.
68 years old, and I'm just ready. You know, I've had 5 kids. I'm kind of ready to let that part of myself
rest. Okay. So I thought it had something to do with that.
Yeah.
So, you need to, a part of being God reliant is developing those God boundaries and being able to stand up for yourself and saying, no, this is not okay for me. And because what happens is that when I personally, when I feel coerced into something, I feel like I've been done wrong. I feel like I've been lied to a little bit. And that's for sure going to create a resentment. And that's also going to drive you further and further away from your husband. So that's going to make you feel even less like engaging in intercourse with him.
Is why I think that's why alone came up so quickly. I noticed that straight away. Did you notice that when you wrote your inventory, Laura? Compulsive eating is a disease of self-abandonment. And so, you know, we never binge or act out or pick up more than when we're abandoning our own true selves. And so in this, you know, yeah. And so, and then we do that in spiritual ways, in mental ways, in emotional ways, in physical ways. And so I heard that very, very early in your inventory. And you said, I was surprised to write alone because I actually enjoy my own company, or something to that effect. I kind of enjoy mm-hmm. being alone. And, you know, if I'm around mm-hmm. someone that's coercive or manipulative, of course I prefer to be alone. That's kind of a natural, you know, human mechanism. But also what I think many women in this call will relate to is that there is also a sense of loneliness that comes when we abandon ourselves, our own boundaries, and the coercion could come, like Leah was talking about, like sometimes I get the bait and switch. I think I'm safe and then I'm not. So, you know, that I hear that in your inventory.
Yeah.
Being convinced to have sex when you don't want to have sex, to me, is a very intimate form of mental rape. Very, I'm going to put it out there. That's what I would use. So, of course you have resentment.
Yeah.
Of course you have resentment. So, again, I'll bring in the child of God. You have to remember that you are a child of God. You're his vessel, and he adores you, and you have to protect that vessel. So you have to start going to God and asking him, hey, what kind of boundaries do I need to set for myself with my husband? How long have you been married?
38 years.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
So if we get complacent and just kind of whatever in our marriages, but is that resentment with your husband that's driving a wedge and driving you further from him and driving you further into your food addiction?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Right.
And what happens? So, what happens when you do speak up for yourself, or do you?
I have spoken up for myself before, and we've seen therapists over it. And what happens is, I get convinced that my way of thinking about this is unnatural, or it's puritanical. I don't know how to say it. It's just not it's not accepted. I don't know how else to say it.
Okay. And have you taken this into prayer and meditation when you wrote this inventory? I'm wondering what
this,
came up.
Not this particular issue. I mean, you know, the whole. I mean, I did somewhat, but I'm not very good at that. But I, you know, I did as best as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember this. If there's no love in the things that you're doing, it's in void of God.
Yeah.
Because God is love.
Right, yeah. No, I understand that. I'm a born-again Christian, too. I understand
awesome.
That. Not that only born-again Christians can understand that. Forgive me, I don't mean to say it that way.
We understand, Laura. It's okay. We have many different, we have people who are of many faiths and some of none. But the important thing that I just want to recognize is, Laura, you've done some really beautiful, honest work, and I hear that you are learning some truths about yourself, and you are only a third through your resentment inventory. So you're doing very good work, and I want to encourage you to keep going through your resentment inventory and continue to bring this to prayer and meditation. You're getting to your truth, and that's the foundation of everything that is God-willed.
Yeah.
So, you know, more will be revealed.
Right, yeah. Thank you so much.
Good work.
Appreciate your feedback. Thank you, Leah.
Very good work. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
We have the most courageous women in this workshop. I love these women, they're amazing. Okay, we've got two hands up. Let me go ahead and
grab Kathy out of Ohio. Okay. Hey, Kathy. We can hear you, darling.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This resentment is continuing to just amaze me what all came out. And it's deep for me. So I'm resentful at my mother. And the cause, she wouldn't leave my father, who was a violent, raging abuser to her. She subjected me to trauma and poverty growing up, acted so weak and helpless, didn't attend my school stuff or awards, didn't like our family, made me feel like I couldn't leave town, made me feel responsible for her. Then when she got older, she moved in and wouldn't leave Target. She used
all of them too. Kathy, is this all in column two? There are only like three lines.
Well, I guess I wrote
some. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You must have, my dear. Did you actually come up with a target statement?
The target was she used me.
Okay, good. Okay. I hear neglect. Okay. I hear neglect in there. So, you know, you might even say she neglected and used me, because I think the first three
Thank
or four
you.
Things you mentioned were forms of neglect. Okay.
So try to
summarize as you go through each section for us.
Well, okay. I'm not sure. I'll just speak quickly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't need to speak quickly.
Okay.
You're okay.
I'm a good daughter. I deserve to be a child. I deserve a peaceful, decent, violence-free home. I deserve the chance to live my life without feeling responsible for her and my fears.
Okay, and Kathy, before you move on to fears, so all of those things may very well be true, but we're only writing from the place of the role that you see yourself. Remember the third step. We have the stage and we have the actor running the show, that's you, and we have the play of your life and your relationship with your mother. And we're not reliving everything in the resentment, but we're looking at it with a little bit of perspective and distance, as if you were seated maybe 50 rows back in the auditorium watching the play and telling us what you observe. What are the roles that are being cast? So I really like the first line where you said, I am the best daughter.
Daughter.
I am the good daughter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I am a good daughter. Okay. So Leah, chime in if you wish, but the way that I was guided to do this was when I am like most offended by what is happening in column two, I write that statement in column three, like the self-esteem statement, I write it from a place of like my ire is really up. Like I was the
Right.
best daughter. I was the most loving little girl. Like I heard all of the other stuff spill out, like I didn't deserve this or I did deserve that. And I want you to draw a line through every sentence that you have that says I deserve, because God knows your story and he knows what's in your heart and he knows that. But in our worksheet, we are sticking with the theme of looking at it with detachment, with the actor in the play. So we are only writing that I was a really good daughter, or I am the best daughter, right? And that's where the deserving kind of tone comes in, right? Right, Leah?
That is 100% correct.
Okay. So we have that. And what is, and just give me one of your fears, your first fear that you have in self-esteem.
Well, actually, neglected was in my fear list.
Okay, good. Did you take the third step every day for a week and read page 25 of the Idiot's Guide, by the way, Carol? Did you read that to your step partner every day?
Yes, okay. We did.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not talking about something you're not familiar with before we move forward. That's good. Okay, any other fears? You get three. Are there any others listed in self-esteem?
Not good enough and used.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, Leah's resonating.
Amen, sister. I'm feeling that.
All right. Try to sum up your pride in one sentence. The pride statement is how I think others see me or feel about me. This is the role that you've assigned others. Others should, no one should, others can. So it might be something like no one should use their child or no one should neglect their child, something to that effect.
Well,
what do you have?
Looking at what I wrote, that's basically it. No one should make their child feel guilty for wanting to live their own life.
Leah?
So repeat that one more time. No one should feel guilty.
No one should make their child feel guilty for wanting to live their own life.
Okay, but this is more about you. Did you have guilt over making your child feel guilty?
I guess I didn't understand.
Do you have guilt over making?
Why don't you go on to the next person? I guess I.
No,
I
no, it's okay, Carol. Carol, we're here to guide you. Oh, forgive me.
Okay.
Kathy. Kathy in Ohio, forgive me. Kathy, this is not about knowing how to do it before you learn. So there's nothing wrong with what we're doing where we're hashing it out. This is the nature of what we're doing. This is a safe place to do this, and it's okay. What I would suggest that you do is in the pride category where you say no one should make their child feel guilty. We just want to get clear on the harm that, or the cause, you know, the harm that you believe she created, the cause of the resentment that's in too. And what I remember you saying was, you know, that she neglected and used me. So to keep things really clear, to stay in that, remember, it's the scene, the actor in the play. It's the scene in the play that we're talking about. So how would you feel if we wrote, no one should neglect or use their child?
Okay, sure.
Don't worry about right and wrong. Don't worry about right and wrong. We're only searching for the truth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes what I like to do with women is when they do some explaining in the categories, which is common with food addicts, a lot of us feel unseen and unheard. And the first time we write inventory, we kind of want to write reasoning in there. Just, it's like, we're so glad that someone's listening and we're getting it out, you know. So for many of us, we write things and say things for the first time here. There are many women who've never talked about this stuff until they've come to the work. So, you could write, no one should make me feel guilty, and draw a line through the rest. But then we have the preponderance of how we're sort of like saying, this person made me feel this way, and it becomes about the other person. And like Leah was trying to direct, we have to keep this focus on ourselves. And so it has to come from our resentment in the cause, okay? So that's why we're saying maybe a more truthful would be, no one should do that. And all the other behaviors that are so offensive to you, like trying to guilt you, probably come out of feeling used or neglected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
What is the fear that you have in that section there?
The fear is, well, I wrote maltreated,
okay,
guilty, resentful, sad.
Okay, just three. We're limiting it to three. Just top
oh,
three.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Those are good. Those are good fears. And ambition. This is what you would want to happen. What you would want to happen. So if you could rewrite the scene of your relationship with your mother, how would you write it? What would you want?
I want to live in a peaceful home.
Okay. I want to be
I want to be loved and encouraged.
Beautiful.
Good one.
Beautiful. That's good work. All right. And what is the fear?
Not good enough. And I also had, well, sad isn't a fear, but
sure
I feel sad about that and resentful.
How about unloved?
I'm sorry?
How about unloved?
Unloved?
Unloved.
You know, one of the things I heard was that you wanted a peaceful home. And so for me, if I were writing that inventory, my fear would probably be fear of conflict.
Ah.
So I don't know if that rings true for you, but that's something associated with that section. What would you need out of the scene of you and your mother, the relationship that you have, what would you need to be okay with that scene today, that relationship today?
I need to be valued just for me to be okay.
Okay. Good. And the fear of being, the fear being in the parentheses?
Disregarded, snubbed, and poor.
Okay. And we see the financial come up a lot in here too. It's interesting. Insecurity. I see that come up. The fear of, like, if I'm unloved, I'm going to be shut out. I had three or four women call me this week where that was somewhere in the inventory, right? There's a, with a lot of food addicts, there's a fundamental fear that we can't take care of ourselves. And usually if we look at our lives, there's no truth to it. We usually have a home, a roof over our heads, you know, gas in the car and, you know, a friend to call. We usually have what we need, but it doesn't mean that the fear doesn't come up. Leah was very insightful earlier where she talked about how we may have a fear of being loved by our crazy mother or crazy father or, you know, untrustworthy sister or our, you know, alcoholic brother. We may have just as much a fear of being loved by them as we do of being unloved. You know,
right.
It's like, if this person loves me, I, you know, and they're not well, then I might have a fear of responsibility or I might have a fear of burden. And so the whole point of looking at our third column fear inventory is to realize that we have 100 forms of fear, that fear is the root of everything. And we're afraid of having it and we're afraid of not having it. And can we see that even sometimes when we get what we want, we're still frightened. We're still not happy. And so this is harking back to the spiritual unmanageability of the irritable, restless, and discontent nature. As long as we're blocked by our anger and resentment, we cannot feel God's presence. We cannot be in faith when we're in fear, right? So that's kind of... you did great work. Kathy, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Okay.
Is there anything?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thanks, Leah. All right. So quarter till. Let me see. Do I have any more hands up? Okay. All right. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to, I want to thank Leah for guiding us in the call and participating. Leah, thank you so much for being here. You're a rock star.
That was amazing.
Yay. I hope you'll come back in another session and participate and guide again.
Of course I will. Love you.
Love you, Leah.
Okay.
Yay.
Bye.
All right. So I just, okay, bye, Leah. So I'm going to just read the
assignment for next week so everybody knows what they're doing and where they are. We're going to be on assignment 16, completing all the third columns and the realizations. That's the entirety of your homework assignment this week, right? That's all you're going to do. Complete the third columns and the realization at the top of the next page. Okay. If you have any trouble, you get stuck, whatever, please, you know, feel free to reach out to us. Leah, would it be okay if the girls called you if they have a question? Uh-oh. I think Leah might have dropped off the line. Okay. Well, feel free to text me or call me, and I will shoot you Leah's number. And if you want to talk to her about anything, or you're welcome to call Anne-Marie, you're welcome to call Susie, you're welcome to me. There are other gals workshop I think would be to take phone calls. If you reach out to me, I'll send you their numbers. So pretty easy assignment this week. No transcription, just not easy, but simple assignment. No transcriptions, just completing the third columns. I think I'm going to wrap it up now with our prayer. I think what I'm going to do is, I think I want to say the third step prayer first. I almost feel like I want to double up, right? So I think I'm going to say the third step set-aside prayer, and then I'm going to say the prayer for resentment inventory. So I feel like it's really appropriate for today. I want to thank everybody who shared. I'm continually amazed and humbled at the incredible work the women in our workshop are doing. And I want to thank every woman who shared tonight. Let's just take a deep breath with me and let's breathe God in. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me see the truth about the failure of my life run on self-will and my decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. God, please help me face and be rid of the things in myself which have been blocking me from you, other people, and myself. Help me see the truth.
Satana, Satana. just a monument. Side by side, side by side. Just a monument. Side by side. Just a moment, side by side, side by side.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for a beautiful, very intimate workshop tonight. I appreciate everyone's participation. Apologize if anybody heard my dog interrupting our meditation at the end there. He really likes meditation and usually comes up about then. I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody, or at least unlock everybody. So if you want to stay and have a little fellowship after the meeting, you just need to press *61 to unmute yourself, and you'll be able to talk to everybody.